Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Charlotte. Great to be with you this morning. Welcome to Coffee Church, and if you're joining online as well. I'd just like to give testimony to you and a little bit of an update. Remember back in June time, July time, I spoke on Psalm 40, and I shared about our daughter's journey from mainstream education to the special educational needs, but there was no space for her, and it was months of trouble and hassle. Just really glad to say that she's got her place in special needs education. She's really well settled. Her transition has been amazing. And just thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the many of you who have emailed and texted and asked, even if you see me around the place, how is she? She's doing so, so well. And her transition to special educational needs has been brilliant. She is an absolute star. So thank you so much for that. We were brought up in a fairly traditional Christian church, and the minister used to visit. Anyone get visits from the minister? Do you know what I mean? From the minister. And when the minister visited, you know, he had to get everything had to be sorted. You know, the house had to be, you know, and you're sort of, to be completely honest, me and my brother used to try to hide when the minister visited. You know, it just was a bit of a thing. But it's that sense of trying to get everything tidy so it looks presentable and looks good. And there's a picture on the screen. Sometimes I think of what this is my. And it's sort of like, this is what the house is like, and then you try to make sure it's tidy. And sometimes whenever our boys are trying to tidy their room, they just close the cupboard doors, do you know what I mean? The mess is still there, isn't it? But you just kind of can't see it. I'm so glad the Bible's not like that. One of the things I love about Scripture is that it's just open, like, and you just see all of the mess of people's relationships with each other and people's relationships with God, and trying to navigate that and work all that out. Scripture doesn't present like a perfect picture of how people relate to one another and how people relate to God. I love the authenticity of it, and I love the beauty of it. And what we're going to do from now until Easter is open up, keep that cupboard door open, if you like, and look through some of the key figures in Hebrew Scripture, or what's known as the Old Testament. We're going to look at them individually, but we're going to look at them actually and how they relate to each other. They're connected relationships as the story flows, as the God of the generations, how relationally we connect with one another, how no one operates in isolation. Everything that they do impacts on each other, and we're going to look at all of that. We're going to look at the authenticity of the story. We're also going to look at the beauty in the story, the real beauty of the story, but also the deep complexity of people just like you and people just like me, because we're beautiful. I even have a spray tan, apparently, from a male beauty aisle in the supermarket, according to one of our elders, which I will be speaking to him about later. Yeah, in trouble again, Paul. Yeah. Three strikes and you're out. That's only 16. How are you still in? We're going to look at the complexity of humanity, but we're also going to look at the dependability of God throughout. Over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at these huge characters in the Old Testament and the Hebrew Scripture. We're going to look at their obedience, and we're going to gain courage from their obedience, because they're just like you and me. We're going to gain courage from their obedience. We're going to gain wisdom from their mistakes. We're going to hide away from their mistakes. We're going to talk about some big issues. We're not going to hide away from their mistakes, but we're going to gain wisdom from them. How can we learn? We're going to gain confidence from God's capacity to bring about his purposes and to bring beauty out of relational ashes and the chaos and the bad choices that we make, of bad things that are done to us and bad things that we do. We're going to gain confidence in God's relentless capacity to bring about his purposes. And so we're going to look at Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, a number of other people. And we're going to look at what it means for us in our families, not just in like a modern Western view of family in the nuclear sense or blended sense or the many ways in which families operate today, but also as God's children in a wider family as part of his kingdom and part of his church. Didn't Jesus teach us how to pray? What were the first two words that as he's teaching us how to pray, what did he say? Our Father. Well, straight away, that's a game changer. Straight away, that's a game changer. Because Erin is now not just Erin Griffith, but she's my sister. I'm not just Gibbs or Mr. Gibson. I am her brother. It's a game changer. We get transformed and transferred and conveyed into a different family. And that really matters. And we're going to look and see what we can learn from this God of the generations, these relational connections, what God wants to do, and perhaps give us a better understanding of ourselves, a better appreciation of ourselves. Perhaps we'll have more grace for ourselves, and key above it all, maybe we'll have more grace for each other. The reality is we do not walk the path of faith alone. We do it with others. And therefore, we need God in us and through us, but we also need God in the space between us. One of the values here at CFC is relational Christianity, a recognition that we do not walk the path of faith alone, but we pray to our Father and we walk as brothers and sisters in the kingdom family under his parenthood. We, as sons and daughters, walk under the Father heart of our God. And we're reminded that, aren't we, at the birth of Christ, how the generational story is right there also at the birth of Christ. How it's connected relationally all the way through. How we relate to each other matters. I'm going to spend 5 minutes doing a bit of a theology of connection, and then we're going to get stuck into the story of Abraham, and we'll be done in time for 11:30 service. How we relate to each other matters. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said that it is good. You see the Hebrew word on the screen, and many of you will know this word is tov. It's pronounced tov, but it's spelled T-O-W-B. And it's translated often as good. I think good does the word a disservice because it's much more than good. Go home today on BibleHub.com and look up Genesis 1 where this is mentioned and read the plethora of words. I like that word, plethora. I was a PE teacher, but not too bad at English either. The plethora of words which are attributed to Tov. And God said that this is Tov. And I'd like Aaron actually just to join me. And Aaron doesn't know this has happened. So when God made humanity in his image, and he declared that it was very good. He declared that Aaron was tov, was good, beautiful, precious, in God's image, amazing. And also, when he made man, he was also declared as tov. But interestingly, when we look at the construct of the Hebrew language, what it means in this context is I'm not just tov and Aaron is not just tov, but this space in between us is also tov. That this relational space, how I interact with Aaron, really is as sacred as the image of God placed upon each of us as well. So it's not just that Aaron is made in the image of God and that I am made in the image of God, but this space in between us, this how we relate to one another is also sweet and precious and beautiful and sacred. And so far, it's no surprise then, sure it's not, Charlotte, come on, you jump up as well. It's no surprise that this is the space that is the first thing that is attacked. This is, you can come into this space. There we go. So I know you love Charlotte. No, you're not the devil. No. Categorically state. It's only for the purposes of a dramatic presentation of the text. But all of a sudden, something is put into the space, and I can no longer. I struggle to see the image of God because I struggle to see past the space in between. And so, how we relate to one another all the way back to the garden suddenly is now challenged, because now blame comes. And there's distance. And think even as well of the distance between God and humanity, man hid. It was the space in between, which was the contested space. And we are going to chart that through all the relational connectivity through the Old Testament, right the way through. Thank you so much, angelic Charlotte. Not in any way. No. And beautiful Aaron as well. So God says it is good, but also the space in between is good. How the two relate to one another is good, beautiful, shalom, righteous. And therefore, how you and I relate to one another takes on a whole other level of sacredness. And it's a fancy word just for seriously special. If you're in the room today and you've sacred Gibble, like what's that? I don't use that in everyday language. Seriously special. The space between becomes seriously special. And it's a space that we must contend for. What does contend for? It means to pray for, to fight for, to put effort into maintaining, to not let the divide come in between. Because it's really easy for divides to become in between. Because there is space in between, and therefore it's easy to fill that space with other things that actually aren't right. And Paul did this brilliantly. Things that aren't true even. Or perceptions that we have about one another. Or I thought I saw that in that person. Or I thought I heard that about that person. Or actually maybe that person did do that. And all of these things come in the mix. And God says about that space, that seriously special space. How we relate to each other, how we relate to our world matters. It's not just in a human to human level. How we relate to creation also is tov, and that really matters too. And so it's a connection of relation, and it's a theology of connection that is embedded in the text right from the beginning. And can I say, CFC, we need to contend for the relational space in between. The enemy has a plan to break that down. Where does the enemy go when he attacks the church? He attacks relationship. He attacks the space in between, puts the wedge in, and then looks to widen it. If I can get a wedge in, then I can widen it. And you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as made in his image, as the space in between is image bearers, we must contend for the space in between. And so we're going to look at these characters, theology of connection done. We're going to look at the characters now. We're going to begin with Abraham. We're going to look at this authentic story. Nothing's hidden. He's so beautiful. He's so amazing. It's not too long before he gets highly complex. And he makes some seriously dodgy choices. We're going to gain courage from his obedience. We're going to gain wisdom from his mistakes. But we're going to see and gain confidence from God's capacity to bring beauty out of relational ashes and chaos and bad choices and stuff done to him and by him. And all the while that we're doing this, guys, invite the Spirit to show us where the Lord needs to operate within us too. Faith is never just about me or you. It's about each other and the space between us. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. I know it's 10:30, but we will be finished. We will be finished. Sometime. Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. It's very easy to miss in our modern culture the cultural significance of what was happening here. Get out from your country, from your family. The word is moladeth, which talks about family birth, your nature, your natural native space where you were born, everything about you. Then the word is changed slightly from your father's house, from your bayit, which meant your security, your belonging, your protected. It was actually a sacred space. Culturally back then, family really mattered, where your place of birth mattered, and then your bayit was created around you, and this was so, so important to you. It really defined who you were. It was your protected, sacred space. And so for Abraham to be called from that was really significant. It's not just like, you know, when you get to a certain age, like some of you guys, and you're getting to the age of 18, 19, and you move out of home, maybe for university or student house or whatever it's going to be. It's not that sense. Because they'll still be back to do their washing, right? This is a massive shift away from everything that Abraham knew. But interestingly, the words go on when he talks about, and you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, mishpachah. So again, the word changes, and the sense of the text as it flows is this: I'm bringing you from this space, and I can't can't diagrammatically do this any better. I'm bringing you from this space, Moladeth, from your Bayit to Mishpachah. I'm going to take you from here, which is really hard, and I know it's so, so difficult for me to draw you from there, but I'm going to take you to somewhere and make you so much more. But it takes courage, doesn't it? And we want to gain courage from Abraham here. And remember, we knew previously in Genesis chapter 11 that Sarah was barren. So he's now leaving his father's protective security to go into what God has for him. But his wife's going to be barren. How's a barren wife going to give birth to a nation? Like, so much is against Abraham here. Also, we learn from Joshua. Stick with me here. You going to stick with me? Say yes, Gabo. Stick with me, Gabo. We learn from Joshua chapter 24 that Terah, who was Abraham's... Who was he? Abraham's father. Served other gods. So it's not like Abraham was being brought up in the ways of Yahweh. Terah served other gods. So Abraham is being called out of that as well. So he's to leave his father's home, his bayit, security, comfort, all of those things. He is going with a barren wife. Huge courage from his obedience to follow where God is calling him to. And it leads, you think of it now, it leads to a whole generational shift and blessing that comes. His dad was alive too when he left. Where do you see my math skills, right? Terah had Abraham when he was 70. Abraham is now 75, which means Terah is... That's terrible maths. Terah had Abraham when he was 70. Abraham's now 75. So how old is Terah? 145. Yeah, brilliant. And he didn't die till he was 205, the text tells us. So Terah's still alive when Abraham has to go to him and say, I'm away here. Huge courage. And the blessing that that brought, but it takes courage to do what God calls you to do, doesn't it? It takes courage to come out of comfort sometimes. And we're going to take this macro story and bring it right down to the micro, guys. What does it look like for you to have courage to do what God's asked you to do in your current situation where you are? There's Alpha courses are running now in Safe City, in South Belfast, and also in Cumber. When's the last time you asked anybody to do anything to do with your faith? To take the courage, to be courageous. You know, yes, we can read amazing stories of courageous things that Abraham done and leaving family and all that. And that's brilliant, and we should gain courage in it. But then what does that then look like in our everyday? Because the Bible is not just a text written to be inspired by and amazed by, but actually to be incarnated in us and through us. At the end of February, at 7 o'clock here in this space, we're going to hear stories of lives transformed by the power of Jesus. They are intentionally designed to be invitational. Who are we inviting? Who are we inviting? Guys, listen, you know, this is massive. We are going to hear lives of testimony of people who were this way, they met Jesus, and then they are different. How Jesus showed up in this. Does the world not need to hear that? Does the world not need to hear that? I'm not condemning us for not being invitational. I'm asking us, are we going to be courageous and obedient to be invitational? Because the world needs to hear what Jesus does through the lives and the stories of people in CFC and of many other churches too. But courage from the macro right down to the micro could mean that for you and I in this season as well. We're going to do these right the way through to June, and then we're just going to be real. We're just going to reevaluate, see if that's something that we're going to continue. But intentionally invitational is what we want to be. But what does it look like for you to be courageous in this season in your obedience to God? What does it look like to gain wisdom from mistakes? Abraham was God's voice obeyer. He was a generational impactor. He inspired songs, which has Sunday schools active for years. I thought that would get more of a laugh than that. He had many sons, didn't he? Yes. Many sons did have father Abraham. Right hand, left hand. I nearly did. But no one is all good. I remember being in a church camp a number of years back as a little boy to Wales. Just a brilliant church family that we were part of at the time. Thankfully, so many of them are still in my life today. Because kingdom family is bigger than just nuclear family. And many of you will testify to that. And many of you aren't my parents, but I still look to you as my spiritual parents and family in that sense. But no one is all good. And on that camp, I remember being, my dad bought a sticker or somebody bought a t-shirt and it said these words on it, "Pobody's Nerfect." It was dead, dead simple, right? But so profound. It's just two letters, isn't it? Pobody's Nerfect. And Abraham was Pobody and he was Nerfect. Fear and worry entered in. It's not too long in the story when we meet Abraham in chapter 12, verse 10 to 20. Some of the key words will be on the screen as well. But there's a famine in the land. And this man of tremendous courage and obedience, all that he left behind, went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, "Hey, listen, I know you're a woman of beautiful countenance." So he's a smooth talker, right? It's like, you're pretty good looking, like, right? Which is amazing. Very fantastic. If you're married today, compliment your partner on their beauty. That's great. But see, whenever we get into Egypt and they see you, please say you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake. I mean, so it was when Abraham came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful, and the princes of Pharaoh saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. Oh, good lad, Abram, yeah. He had sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys. And I don't know why the Bible is very specific about male donkeys and female donkeys. I don't know. But anyway, there were both. And there were camels, which is also great too. Who doesn't want a camel? But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. See, when fear enters into a narrative, we learn so much about ourselves, don't we? When fear enters into our narrative and worry enters into our narrative, this father of many nations, this beginning of blessings to the world, which we live in the good of today, went to self-protection over self-sacrifice. See this, Sarah, you do this so it's going to be okay for me. And don't miss in verse 7, just a few verses before, God had literally physically showed up to Abraham. It says that Abraham saw God. And the reality is, guys, the complexity is that no one is just one thing. As good as Abraham is in one sense, in the next few sentences, it's pretty bad. Like, no one is just one thing. I am not just one thing. Paul was so kind when he said that I was priceless. Oh, I mean, that's a big thing. But often at times, I'm worth nothing, Paul, due to my own decisions that I make. And that's the reality, is it not, for us all? We can do really good things. We can be really great, but you know what? We can suck. We can treat people really, really well, and see other times we don't. And I can be resentful towards Erin for how she's treated me and spoken to me perhaps in the past at times. Not that she has, but I'm just using it as an example, right? But I've got to look at myself and go, do you know what? There are times when I've done that too. And so that's why I'm saying, as we look at these characters, we understand that we go through stuff in life and we can do things, we can act in certain ways. We've got to be gracious enough to acknowledge when we've done something wrong and fight and contend for that space in between. That church family camp that was so united and so together and so amazingly things happening, that doesn't exist anymore. That church fell apart. And relationships still today, even though that was over 30 years ago, are still wedged in between and wider than ever. It's not the way of the kingdom. We must contend for the space in between. And I know we sit here even in our own seats this morning with relational breakdown in our life. Perhaps this morning just even begins with a prayer for that space. Maybe you're not even at a point where you can pray for the person to which that relationship has been wedged in between. But maybe you can pray for the space in between. Because that's tov. It's easy to look at Abram and go, oh man, like you were fearful and you went to your self-protection over self-sacrifice. And the space between him and his wife was no longer sacred. But you know what we can do? As we close this morning, we can gain confidence in God's capacity. One of the favorite moments as a father was finally when I could get Scalectrics and pretend that it was for my sons, right? If you can show the picture, Aubrey, that would be awesome, dude. And one of the best Christmas presents we ever had in our house was Mario Kart Scalectrics. And if anyone has ever had Scalectrics, you'll know that the wee cars have these little like metal strips and they sit in like this little track. And it's fine if you don't go too fast around the corners, right? But of course, our boys love the fact that they get to ramp them off the track as they go. And you'd have to find them in the thing and it would pick up lots of dust and you'd have to reset them and put them back on the track. And it reminded me so much of our ability in our life just to derail ourselves and derail others. And the beautiful thing that we gain confidence in, and we will do this, look for this pattern as we go throughout this God of the Generation series, is our ability to derail, but God's ability to re-rail. How often, whenever we live our lives and we are making decisions and doing things, and often it's just like a detour, we go off the track. Detours God takes and makes into contours. Detours can become contours with God's capacity to a life yielded to him. This is the reality. There are some of you sitting in this room this morning, and we have had detours in our past together. That's the reality. For those of you who have never had a detour with me, and you're sitting going, I could never have a detour with him. We get on so well. Oh, we could have a detour. There are many of you sitting in this room and you've had a detour with CFC. This stuff ain't easy. Doing life together as brothers and sisters ain't easy. I'm not standing up here pontificating and going, this is a gift. We just need to love one another. Be grand. Stinking hard at times. But detours can become contours when a life is yielded to God. Do you know what a contour is? It just brings us round again. I love God's ability to bring us round again. And it might take time. And it's certainly, I remember when I was a teacher, I was in charge of Duke of Dread. And and you've got your map and you're on Hen Mountain and the mist comes in and you're taking a wee detour and all of a sudden and you just, I say it could just contour around, you get back to where you started. Contour, detours can become contours when a life is yielded to God. Some of you are sitting in this room and you've had major detours with church. But you're here. Detours can become contours when a life is yielded to God. Because remember this, and with this we genuinely close. I hate preachers who say we're going to close and then they go on for 10 minutes. We're going to close. Hebrews chapter 12. He is the author and the what? The perfecter, the teleotis, the completer, who brings a process to a finish. Philippians 1 verse 6 says this, the good work that has begun in you, he will bring not just to a finish. I want you to notice this. It's a different Greek word from the same root, but it means to perfection. Not just to a completion, but to a perfection. You see, the beautiful thing is this. Aaron was made in the image of God. Beautiful, precious. I'm made in the image of God, beautiful and precious. The space in between us is made in God's image, beautiful and precious. And the good work that he has done in us and through us will be brought to perfection. We're going to gain confidence in God's capacity to bring about perfection and completion to his work. Would you stand with me as the band come back, please? Could our prayer ministry team also just come forward at this time? And if you need prayer this morning, you would like to pray this morning, and specifically, I think, two things. One, to pray for the space in between. To pray protection over the space in between, because that's where the enemy wants to attack. And so even now, if you want to come forward, as parents and who are going to get kids, that's absolutely right and proper to do. So that's an important space in between as well that you need to close. But guys, protection for the space in between, it's worth guarding and loving and praying for that space. Even if you can't pray for another person this morning that there's an issue with, pray for the space in between. Guys, we want to guard it as we move through this season. We want to guard it so it doesn't end up like the garden, where there's division and separation. We want to guard the space in between. Come, Holy Spirit. As we respond in song, Holy Spirit, would you move within each of us? Would you show us the areas of our lives that we need to yield? Would you show us what we need to learn from even just that brief introduction to Abraham's story? And would you show us where we need to contend and where we need to pray protection over the relational space in between. In Jesus' name, we pray.